L3 Smart Deck EFAS. Competition for Garmin? Stay tuned. This AvWeb audio special feature from NBAA in Atlanta is brought to you by the Bose Aviation Headset 10. Visit Bose.com/headset. 5 years ago, a new EFAS called Smart Deck appeared at Oshkosh to be offered by B.F. Goodrich's aerospace unit. It promptly vanished. L3 Communications bought the Goodrich line, and now Smart Deck is back. L3's Larry Riddle explains why the new version advances the state of the EFAS art.
The Smart Deck is a new EFAS system. First appeared 5 years ago at Oshkosh. At the time, owned by another company, which has been acquired by L3. So this is a whole new product. Tell us how that business development worked.
Well, exactly. You know, you definitely want to forget about what you'd seen several years ago when we first came out with Smart Deck. When we were acquired by L3, we certainly looked at the market and some of these initial introductory offerings from Avidyne and Garmin, and we're like, we don't want to be a third me too. We want to come out with something that's really going to make an impression on the market. Something that's easy to use, it's fun to fly, and looks great. So we started off with a clean sheet design, essentially started over to make sure we could do the three clicks or less, shallow menu structure, make sure you have awesome graphics, bumped up the display size, did the center console unit or the CCU to, again, help differentiate it. But really when it comes down to it, you're just trying to drive the safety through a pilot being confident in what they're doing with their avionics.
Now, the Goodrich development really doesn't inform this in any way?
The Goodrich development, no. It's essentially...
Start from the beginning.
Exactly.
Let's talk a little bit about those displays. These displays are larger than the Avidyne and the Garmin. What size are they?
Correct. These are 12-inch diagonal displays. And then you have it's roughly about 6.7 inches on the CCU diagonal. So you have more display space, more information to put up there, which is always useful.
And these are high-resolution LCDs?
Exactly.
Now, looking at the system, this is essentially a three-display system, and the others are two displays. And if you look at the Avidyne, it's two displays plus the Garmin radios that drive it. But this is three displays with the communications and navigation gear completely integrated, including GPS, comm, and so forth.
Correct.
Why did you go with that strategy, and how does it work out in the cockpit?
Well, a lot of times you get folks that, you know, for aircraft that you have the CCU, the center console unit, it's just going to do additional functionality. So now you can not take up your MFD with either flight planning modes or nav or communications type mode. So your CCU is dedicated to that, and you still have this awesome 12-inch diagonal MFD that you can look at other information. You could be checking the weather. You could be checking your engine status pages. Essentially, anything that you want, you're not taking up that valuable space. So really, it came down to just opening up something else for necessity.
Now, the CCU, or the center console unit, for those who haven't seen it, it's down on the console where, say, in the Avidyne setup, you would have the Garmin 530, 430,
correct,
or a pair of 430s. What does it do exactly?
Well, it does the radio management, so you're selecting frequencies, both nav and comm. You're also doing flight planning, both edit or creating new type flight plans, and it also is the control head for the autopilot integration, which we're using an STEC 1950 IntelliFlight that's being integrated with Smart Deck.
Now, that autopilot's a new digital autopilot.
Correct.
That's going to be available?
Correct.
When will that be available?
It's actually, the IntelliFlight system is available now, but it's much like any other autopilot, has to be configured to specific aircraft, so, or the avionics for this discussion. Mm-hmm. So it's integrated to Smart Deck. So with that, it'll be available next year and flying with Smart Deck.
I see. What did you do differently with the displays? Why would I want this, say, over Garmin or an Avidyne?
Graphics, graphics, graphics. This is just pleasing to the eye. There's some other high-end displays out there that are, you know, several $100,000, and this is comparable. When you look at just the shading gradients and how we've really done an excellent job with the colors and the shading, it's easy on the eyes. It's attractive. It's easy to look at.
And more on that new EFAS system from L3's Larry Riddle in just a moment as he speaks with AvWeb's Paul Bertarelli at NBAA in Atlanta. Today's coverage is brought to you by Bose Aviation Headset 10, voted number one for the sixth consecutive year in Professional Pilots 2006 Headset Preference Survey. You can enjoy full spectrum noise reduction, clearer audio, and comfortable around-the-ear fit. Learn more at Bose.com/headset.
Are you going to use the HITS display methodology in this?
We're looking at primary, the closest thing right now is synthetic vision. That's on a very near-term roadmap once we get through our initial certification effort next year. And then we continue to look at HITS and what the market wants with that type of future technologies.
What about enhanced vision?
We have the Iris enhanced vision mm-hmm. system, and that'll be also available to interface to SmartDeck, and will come up on your MFD.
And how would that consume the entire MFD, or would it be a window on the...
It's essentially a window.
Mm-hmm. And then if you use synthetic vision, which is GPS database-based, would those two integrate, or would they be separate views?
Right now, we don't have a near-term introduction for a few synthetic vision and enhanced vision. Obviously, again, that's something going down the road. Our friends in Cedar Rapids introduced their version of that fusion. We would completely expect the synthetic vision first and then determine what the market's going to drive it going forward.
I see. What do you see as the market focus for this unit? Now, we've talked about it being in the Cirrus Jet. Would it be also applicable for piston singles?
Oh, absolutely. We want to whet the market's appetite with this system. Someone's like, hey, this is slick.
Mm-hmm.
And with, obviously the development phase for Cirrus Jet's very important. But at the same time, when you do a great launch of a product like this with SmartDeck, hey, let's start wetting the appetites of some other OEMs to start working with them. So it's very, very much a Part 23 application.
Mm-hmm.
It's scalable. We have a Level B certification effort on this with the software, so we can move up. So build up some field credibility in Part 23 world for a couple of years, and anything is possible.
What kind of time frame are we talking about for development and certification of this system?
Well, it'll be certified next year, sometime in 2008, as we knock off the 32 TSOs that are against SmartDeck. So 2008 is when you're going to look at...
It's flying now?
Correct.
What's it flying in?
Well, it's flying in in one of our aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
You might have seen some of the pictures on there.
Is that a Cirrus, by the way?
That's our SR-22.
Okay.
Because we have a mixed fleet, and so that's what we put it in to evaluate it as we're mm-hmm. earning our TSOs.
Mm-hmm. And then for the Cirrus Jet version of it, sometime in 2009, is that the plan?
I think the Jet's 2010, mm-hmm. roughly, but it'll be something different. One of the things that the Cirrus Jet, they're looking at the user interface. They like how it's easy to use.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to definitely drive to continue to make that easy to use and customize it for jet applications. So that's what we're hopefully trying to accomplish during the development phase.
Cost-wise, is this competitive with other systems out there?
Well, it's tough to get on cost because it is a customizable thing. It's not a commercial off-the-shelf thing. So mm-hmm. you really get into apples and oranges if you try to line it up against the competition price-wise. It's really what you want.
Mm-hmm. Explain that a little bit. Is this kind of a one from menu, or one from column A, one from column B type choice?
It can be. Essentially, some systems out there, you just get one AHARS.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have a dual AHARS. That's standard.
I see.
So with that, there's an incremental bump in the price. So really, it depends on how you want it, what do you want customized, what additional features or interface do you want. We have an open architecture, meaning we can add things to it. So it really comes down to what do you want on that system.
I see.
We just say it's a very cost-effective solution for Part 23 applications.
Well, thank you very much for talking to us today, Larry.
Excellent.
And we'd like to come out to Grand Rapids to take a look at this.
We'd love to have you. Get there before the snow flies.
All right. Thanks a lot.
L3's Larry Riddle from On Location at NBAA in Atlanta. You've been listening to one of several extra audio features we're releasing this week from NBAA in Atlanta, and as always, watch avweb.com for the latest print and video coverage. Comments on this audio cast welcome at audionews@avweb.com. Today's report was brought to you by the Bose Aviation Headset 10. Check it out at bose.com/headset. I'm Mike Blakeney for Avweb Audio. Thanks for listening.